T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Chris, what are we listening to?
It's Elvis' version of Bill Monroe's Blue Moon of Kentucky, a Miffian singing about Kentucky, coming to you from a Miffian currently driving through Kentucky. Although, in retrospect, I really should have gone with Paradise by John Prine, because just a couple minutes ago, I entered Muhlenberg County, where that song is set. I didn't know.
I was trying to think about this, because I believe everybody drove to Columbus this time, and obviously the shorter turnaround, you know, in times of having to plan. In your opinion,
drive? Because Parth never drives.
Did who drive?
Parth.
Yeah, that's a good question.
We don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For you, though,
to be determined.
What's the time range of, okay, I'll just drive it rather than fly? Like, what is the high end for you of, I'd rather just drive than have to deal with airports and whatnot?
Oh, this is probably the far end, because it's like a 10-hour drive. So my deal is that my wife works for the university, and so I'm going because I can tag along with her, and she's got a plus one, right? She is flying. But she is flying like with one of her donors. She's not flying, you know, commercial. I don't. She didn't have a plus one for the plane.
Right.
So I'm driving up, and she's flying, and we're gonna drive back together afterward. But also, I like driving. I was actually looking forward just to having a whole day in the car by myself, driving around, looking at parts of the country, catching up on my podcast, not having to worry about anything, not having to deal with anybody. And so, like, to me, it's a peaceful experience. So I actually like road tripping and driving.
I found I like driving there. It's the drive back that always gets me. And it's not that I don't want to go home. I'm always happy to be home, but it's like, it feels like the drive is always slower.
Well, the last half of, like, the drive back, you're just ready to be home.
Yes.
Right? And then you got to slog. But, like, right now, like I'm going to, you know, I got enough time. I left very early this morning, so I think I have enough time. I'm going to drop into Louisville and, like, you know, sit down and have lunch somewhere. I scouted out a Mediterranean deli in downtown Louisville I'm going to check out. And I got my eyes on a record store in Cincinnati. I think I've booked enough time where I can, you know, drop into each of those two cities for an hour or so and still get there in time for the game. And so, you know, it's a good day.
I've noticed also for me the math has changed because, you know, I grew up here. So I grew up with Northwest. We had flights everywhere. You know, and my dad was a traveling guy, so we were always able to fly fairly reasonably. And so the math changed, though, when Delta moved out, and all of a sudden you're connecting through Atlanta everywhere, or you're connecting through O'Hare or Charlotte. You're connecting through some of the worst airports in the entire country, and I'm like, screw it now, I'll just drive. That's the math changed for me.
Yeah, I don't really enjoy the flying experience. I don't like going through the security. I don't like being on the plane. Like, it's not something that I find relaxing. And so, you know, the leg room and the whole, and sitting next to other people who maybe you're not related to, and just the whole shebang. And so, you know, given the choice, I prefer driving.
I am the guy that will put on his Bose headphones and, you know what I mean, like, the moment I get back through security, it's like, I don't know if this makes me a bad person, but it's like, I don't really need to chit-chat about your family. I really don't. I'm just going to sit back, look ahead, and hope to God there's an entertainment system in the headrest. Did you get to watch any basketball yesterday?
Sadly, no. I mean, you asked me about the Arkansas, and I was geared up for that. I'd forgotten that I have my music radio show on Thursday afternoons, and so I was spinning records while Arkansas was playing, and then I was spinning records. I had to go pick up my son from his guitar lessons, School of Rock, and so I missed all the Arkansas. So I'm hoping, I need an upset of Kansas so I can watch a win.
I'm telling you, man, they didn't disappoint. They were exactly what I want them to be at all times. Like, they're that team that could be really good. They choose not to be.
Yes.
They're just so much fun to watch.
So, I mean, my bracket's already busted, so I got that going for me, right? I had Arizona in the Final Four. I had Virginia in the Elite Eight. So, but what do I know? I haven't watched a college basketball game all season that didn't involve Memphis or Arkansas.
I believe every year since 2010, other than the 2019 Final Four, a 7 seed or higher has made the Final Four. I had Texas A&M. They got beat by about 35 last night. They were in my Final Four, so that looked good. All right, Jeff and I were trying to define the game for the Grizzlies tonight, and we came up with, we strongly advise not losing. How would you define tonight?
I mean, at this point, given, I don't know, there are no must wins unless you're an elimination game in the playoffs,
right?
Especially in the regular season. We've already discussed that the inherent value difference in the 2 and 3 seed is minimal. So the stakes are low, but, you know, coming off that loss at Miami, playing, you know, second worst team in the league, maybe certainly bottom three team in the league in San Antonio. You know, yeah, it's a game you want to get, and it's a game, I think they're happy to get Ja back, obviously, but they also want to show that, like, you know, we're not just waiting for Ja. Like, we're a real team. Like, we're people too. And so, you know, let Ja come back to a team that's played at least 500 ball without him, and so get a win tonight.
Yes, this kind of caught me by surprise. So Ross Wooden, who does a great job with all the notes and stats information for the Grizzlies. I suppose I should have known this, but it just didn't calculate. Do you realize the Grizzlies are on a 9-game winning streak over the Spurs?
I was not aware of that, though. Times have changed, Jeffrey.
Right. I mean, I read that note. I was like, if it weren't Ross that wrote that, I was like, there's no way that's true. But it's Ross, so I'm like, okay, well, that's got to be true. Like, that is just such Ross a bizarro world to me.
Ross is out here trying to usher Greg Popovich into retirement the way Zach Randolph once ushered Antonio McDyess into retirement. That's savage.
What is Pop going to do? I mean, at a certain point, like, do you just keep cashing checks?
You're cashing checks, or you're drinking the finest wines, or eating at the finest restaurants of every city that has an NBA team? Like, you're teaching basketball? It's funny, he sort of entered his, like, you know, like, legendary coach is retired to go coach a high school team and just teach the fundamentals of the game. He's doing that with an NBA salary. So, like, you know, whatever. Like, you do you.
And I guess when you actually think about it that way, it's like, that is a relatively expensive lifestyle. So you're probably
not
just going to give it up.
Yeah. I mean, you know, San Antonio, North San Antonio High is not, like, paying for his wine habit, right?
I mean, I also think, though, weirdly, I feel like he is the type of guy that he might take more, like, excitement out of coaching a bad team, to your point. Like,
right.
Obviously, you'd rather win, but it's at a certain point, like, is he just hanging on just to get the wins record? Is that what he's doing?
I just passed an exit for the Everly Brothers Monument. I'm
there
not thinking of that. Next time. You know, last time they were in town, I went to his pregame press availability, and, like, he was totally relaxation friendly. I got to say, like, the stakes are low, the pressure's low. You can joke about your team being bad. Like, you know, there's like nothing to lose at this point. And he's got like 5 rings, and so, like, I don't know. He'll retire whenever he wants to retire. It wouldn't surprise me if he retires this summer. But it's not like he's out there embarrassing himself. Like, the team is not supposed to be good, and so, like, you know. It's fine.
Are they in? Do they have hope? I mean, in the end, I guess for them, it depends on the lottery this year, right?
Yeah, I was about to say, ask me after the lottery, and we can talk. I mean, anybody gets number one pick's got hope if that guy's as good as people think he is. But to your point, beyond that, like, the San Antonio magic seems to be gone, right?
Yes.
And you could argue that it was really that they had Tim Duncan. Like, nothing against Pop, nothing against R.C. Buford. Like, there was a great structure. They found Tony Parker, like, at the end of the first round. They found Manu Ginobili in the second round. They did all this. But at the core of it all is they had Tim Duncan, who was a top-10 player all time and maybe a top-10 teammate, like, person in an organization as a great player. It's almost like the Steph Curry thing with Golden State. So as much good as there was around them, like, they didn't win any titles without Tim Duncan. And so, you know, and it doesn't seem like – it seems like now they're just another team. And you're just another team in San Antonio, which is one of the smaller markets. Not only one of the smaller markets, but really sort of hidden outpost kind of market, right? Yeah. And so, you know, to me, the great dynastic Spurs run was not like some inherent repeatable culture beyond Tim Duncan. It's not shown to be. There's no reason to think it'd be if it hasn't been repeatable after Tim Duncan, like, losing Pop's not going to make that any better. And so, like, they could be great again, but it seems to me they have no better chance than anybody else. And so they could be in the wilderness a long time if they don't get the right luck or get lucky with a pick outside of number one. Sure.
To me, it is interesting because I've always thought Popovich and Belichick are the most similar in terms of culture, you know, like a certain way of doing it. But then you start to realize, like, it's like you're not going to be a great coach without a great player. Like, and you know, in the end, Belichick without Brady has proven to be, he's certainly not a bad coach, but, like, he's not sitting there with six rings without Tom Brady. And it's, I kind of find myself wondering, like, is Tim Duncan the most underappreciated all-time great?
Yes. The answer to that is yes. I mean, DeMar DeRozan and LaMarcus Aldridge were both all-star level players in their prime. They weren't going to the finals with those dudes.
Yeah.
With Greg Popovich. Like, Phil Jackson in his prime wasn't going to take DeMar DeRozan and LaMarcus Aldridge to the NBA finals, right? And so, I'm not saying coaching does not matter, because coaching does matter.
For sure.
But elite talent is what matters most.
Yeah, I've always felt like coaching matters at kind of the margins, but how many coaches are really going to – how many coaches are going to change a roster's win-loss, you know, record by, like, five? To me, it feels like the ones that have the most impact in the negative. You know what I mean? Like, they're the Iveronis, if you will.
Well, think about it this way. What we've seen before, we saw it with the Bulls team. Most notably, we saw it with the Bulls team when they flipped from Doug Collins to
Phil Jackson.
Phil Jackson. We've seen it with some other teams where, like, you have elite talent and you have it quite broken through and you make a coaching change as the final move to get you over the hump. And no, it never goes the other way. No one says, well, we have this elite coach and we haven't been able to break through with our elite coach. We need to go get an elite talent as the final piece to put us to get us over the hump, right? That's not what gets you across the finish line. That's what gets you in the race. And so the coach thing is a tweak. And to your point, it's at the margins, right? We need help at the margins so we can change our coach. Like, you have to start with the talent.
Does Kerr qualify in the same category?
I think so. I mean, we have not seen Kerr outside of that context, especially we haven't seen Popovich either. I don't think he has coached anywhere, right? He was in the front office in Phoenix. That's the only place he's coached.
He was on TNT's broadcast crew.
Yeah, he was in the front office at Phoenix, but that's his only head coaching gig, I think. So we haven't seen him either outside the context of that organization, or, unlike Popovich, we haven't seen him outside the context of Steph Curry. Like, we've seen Popovich without Duncan. We have not seen Kerr without Curry. And so I bet we never see Kerr without Curry coaching, I would guess. And so he's obviously a very good coach, but we have not seen him operate independent of the talent. And to some degree, we've seen the talent operate independent of him. You know, he had that season where he had to take time off for health, for injury purposes.
Yeah, the back, wasn't it?
Yeah, and Luke Walton, like, won, like, 20 in a row or something, coaching that team. And then last year he was out in the playoffs, and Mike Brown kept him, you know, won that series against the Grizzlies. Now, those coaches took over teams that he had built and his culture and his, you know, whatever. So he still gets credit for that. but we have not seen him coaching without Steph Curry. And so I'm sure he's a good coach purely, but also, like, I don't know, like, you know, if he quit tomorrow and then he decided I want to get back in, it's not obvious to me he's the best coach you could hire of any available person. Like, is he a better coach than Quinn Snyder? I don't know. Quinn Snyder's never had Steph Curry.
Well, I mean, I also think about it this way. I think history's been pretty kind to Mike Brown. Am I convinced that Kerr could go to Sacramento and do what Brown's doing? I mean, there's I'm open to the conversation. It's but like I think Mike Brown's done a hell of a job this year.
Well, we know Luke Walton could not.
Right. Exactly. We can confirm that.
Yeah. No. So yeah, I mean, you know, I was listening to like Nate Duncan, John Hollinger. I was listening to their podcast where they rank coaches at the end of every year. And they sort of got to this debate about Kerr because they had Eric Spoelstra number one, and then, like, they were just debating who would be number two. And Duncan had Kerr number two, and I don't remember who John had, but he had Kerr number two. I don't remember who John had, but it was not Steve Kerr. But you got to that similar kind of debate. I think the point they made, which I agree with, is, like, most coaches are good now. Like, maybe there's two or three that are noticeably bad. And maybe like one or two you would separate, but like most of the NBA, it's just a bunch of good coaches, and like some have the talent and some don't.
Would Spoelstra be one for you too?
He might. I mean, you look at, obviously they're not having a great season, but they've had a history of performing up or over their talent. I mean, he got to the NBA finals with a team that was a 5 seed and had no superstars.
Yeah.
Admittedly, it was in the bubble, but still, like, they were there. And then he's won titles, obviously, when he's had the elite talent. So, like, you know, if we stipulate you have to have the elite talent to win a title, well, having the elite talent doesn't mean you won't necessarily win the title. So he won the title when he had the elite talent, and then has just generally acquitted himself well whenever he has it. So I think I probably would at this point.
Yeah, I'm with him. I'm just in the category of his teams never suck. You know what I mean? Like, to me, like, that's also a big deal. It's like, very rarely, and I guess maybe this would be one of the examples, but very rarely do you feel like, man, he didn't get very much out of that team.
Right. They have a history of the history of developing talent, like turning nobodies into good players, and the team's usually almost always good on defense, and yeah.
Did you see Draymond did get baited into another tech?
He meant to do that.
Yeah, oh, sorry. He doesn't get baited, so when he gets a tech, he wants it. He wants to get suspended.
I saw someone tweet about that. Like, Draymond said on his podcast the other week, and I got to say, he actually said that in response to my question before the game that was not on his podcast. That was after the game. It was after they lost to the Grizzlies in the post game. I went to the post game for the Warriors because Jeff was doing the Grizzlies, and we wanted to get both that night.
Right.
And I asked him about the referees not calling the technical when they went nose to nose. I asked him about the restraint of the officials with the two highest tech guys in the league, like bumping fences and there being no whistle. And that is when he said, well, he was trying to bait me, Dylan Brooks. He was trying to bait me into getting a tech. And that's the difference between him and me. I get technicals when I want the technicals. He must have a great hunger to get technicals if he only gets technicals when he wants to.
Well, you just have to respect the leadership of somebody who wants to get suspended when his team's in the middle, you know, right? Of a positioning race. Like, that's big-time leadership.
Yep.
What are the podcasts we're listening to? What are we listening on the drive up?
What are we listening to? So I've done a lot of NBA. I knocked out a Bill Simmons pod where they were ranking the worst contracts in the league. No Grizzlies players on that list.
All right, that's a win.
Shout out to the Grizzlies. I listened to the new Windhorse McMahon Bond Temps. I was just listening to a movie podcast about the Scream franchise. I made it through about half of that, and I decided I didn't care anymore. So I'm not sure what I'll get into next.
What's the point in which you'll quit on a podcast?
Oh, well, sometimes I never get started. I subscribe to way too many, and so I end up deleting about half of the things that pop up on my phone before I ever hit play.
Yeah.
And typically, like, I'll scope out, like, what are they talking about, and I'll know whether I care. But even the ones where I think I care about, like, you know, by the halfway point, if I lose it, so I'll move on.
Is there a point in which you've stuck it out and you're like, well, screw it, I'll just finish? You know what I mean? Like, I'm not really into this, but I'll at this point, I'm pot committed.
Only if my mind starts to wander and I forget it, it's still playing.
Yeah.
Like maybe that kind of scenario.
All right, Chris. Well, safe travels tonight, and we wish you well.
All right. Talk to you later.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.